The Heaven Field, a novel by I.G. Hume, read by the author. Episode 23, The First Flames.
"The scout ships which broke free from the cordon, sir," whispered Gutteridge into Spears's ear. They were stirred amid the bustle of the operations room.
"Well,"
snapped Spears, a hysterical edge seeping into his voice.
"They're reporting a large force massing near the British entry point, sir."
"I knew it,"
cursed Spears.
"They're going to make a preemptive strike from the field. Prepare the fleet for an immediate breakout."
"Yes, sir," said Gutteridge, doubt heavy in his voice.
"Are we to attack their force, sir? Don't we need to clear that with our..."
"I gave you an order, Gutteridge,"
screamed Spears.
"Are you a goddamn politician now?"
"No, sir. I apologize, sir," barked Gutteridge. Half an hour later, Spears stood nervously in an empty conference chamber.
"Sir, we have an incident on our hands," he muttered gravely, looking solemnly into the video conferencing monitor.
"Okay, you're on the open channel. The President is listening."
"Sirs, Mr. President," began Spears, his voice dry and nervous. "Our scouts have intercepted a large force massing in the field, around the entry point of the British base at Maundsworth. I have prepared our strike team to break out of the cordon around the entry point and neutralize the threat, sir."
There was a sickening silence. Spears waited whilst they discussed the unwelcome news. He prayed he hadn't misjudged the paranoia of his leaders.
"Sir,
the British have given us their absolute assurance that they have no large-scale military presence in the field."
"All the more reason not to trust their intentions then, sir, since we know that to be untrue."
"Very well, Spears. Your forces are authorized to break out, but they are not, I repeat, not to engage the main force. We will not be responsible for an international incident."
"With all due respect, Mr. President,"
began Spears, almost bursting with anticipation now that he had the meeting out of his hands.
"I believe this is already an international incident."
Thomas looked up from his papers as Grace breezed in through the door.
"Hi, Thomas. How are you getting on there?" she asked airily.
Thomas shrugged nervously and carried on with his frenetic writing.
There are some military policemen here, Thomas. They want to talk with you a while. They're just in my office at the moment."
Thomas felt his stomach turn and his cheeks flushed a deep red.
"Policemen,"
he croaked anxiously, his hands tapping his fountain pen on the desk in a nervous rhythm.
"I'm sorry, Thomas. They're asking everyone questions at the moment. It shouldn't take long."
She led him out of his room. He stooped badly as if trying to curl in on himself.
"Am I in trouble?"
he managed through dry lips, as Grace led him down the corridor. His skin felt hot and he had pins and needles across his face. He thought he might be sick.
"Don't worry, Thomas," said Grace gently, stopping and looking intently at him. "Jesus, Tom, you look awful."
She brushed a ragged curl of hair away from his face, and he flinched as if in fear.
"What's wrong, Thomas?"
she asked quietly, her clear eyes looking deep into him. He turned away and shrugged a little, nervously putting his hand up to his mouth.
"Tell me,"
she said gently.
"It's just..."
He felt tears welling up, and gasped to get the words out, but they were no more than a cracked whisper.
"I'm just scared,"
he managed at last. Then, as if a dam burst inside him, he sobbed and coughed upon Grace's shoulder, while she held her arms around him.
"Hey, it's okay, Thomas,"
she whispered soothingly.
"We're all scared." "I'm just raw,"
he coughed.
"It's all violence. I don't sleep anymore."
He clumsily drew away from Grace, rubbing his eyes and nose.
"I'm sorry," he mumbled. "It's just everything feels violent here. I can't bear it."
He looked away in embarrassment.
"And now the police want to see me,"
he stammered quietly.
"We've seen some horrid things, haven't we?"
said Grace calmly, resting her hand gently on his arm. You must have had a crazy few months up until now. And I can see it getting worse before it gets better. But we're discovering something truly great here. An outstanding moment of our times. You've got to focus on that if you can. It will all get better, I'm sure.
I don't know why I'm here, whispered Thomas, rubbing the tears from his spectacles with the corner of his shirt.
I'm just in the way.
Grace stood and looked at him in amazement.
Oh no, she sighed, shaking her head. Don't ever say that, Thomas. You are the project here. Your ideas are, well, Jim Grayson. I'm sure he really did wet himself when I showed him your work. It's true. I saw the patch.
She laughed lightly to herself, and Thomas felt the sound wash over him, soothing the barbs of his tension from his aching muscles. He managed a tentative smile of his own.
Good, good. You know, I'd forgotten how little you have smiled recently, said Grace. I haven't really sort of slept much recently, he mumbled.
Look, sighed Grace, glancing at her watch.
These chaps just want to go through the motions and ask you the same questions they've asked everybody else 100 times already. I'll sit in with you and we'll get it over with as quickly as possible.
And then, she led him slowly down the corridor.
And then you're going to get some time off, Thomas. But the research on that suit systems, I've got to...
No buts, said Grace, holding up a commanding hand.
You haven't had a day off since we practically kidnapped you. I don't think we'll be able to get you off the base for the time being, but I'm going to make damn sure you get some quiet time. What do you like doing?
Thomas shrugged apologetically.
Reading? He muttered. Well then, we'll see you get some time to read, she laughed. I like the library at the labs, he stuttered in embarrassment.
Grace gave him a shrewd look and smiled.
Sure, Thomas. We'll get you some spare time.
The meeting with the military police only took a few minutes. Once they had ascertained where he'd been at the time of the shooting of Jane Honeyman, the police didn't have much interest in him. Thomas stood outside Grace's office, shaken but relieved it was all over.
There, that wasn't too bad, was it?
Chirped Grace, after showing the investigators out.
Are you sure you're okay?
She asked, looking at him in concern once again. Thomas nodded and shrugged his shoulders.
I'm sorry, it just got a bit much for me before. I don't mind carrying on with my work here, he stuttered.
Nonsense, said Grace. Stop by my office after 6 tonight, and I'll sort you out with a pass and stuff to get you back to the basement for a couple of days.
I'm sorry, Tom, I've got to get going to a meeting now, but I'll see you a little later, okay?
She squeezed his arm and then hurried off down the corridor, a plume of cigarette smoke billowing behind her. Thomas watched her go, pondering the warmth of her touch. He set off back down the corridor towards his room.
Sir! Sir!
A harsh, distorted voice cut in over the intercom. Spears looked up from the map table. His eyes took a second to focus. He seemed tired and distracted.
What is it?
He muttered quietly, all the while his hands darting ceaselessly over the charts which indicated positions of forces in the field surrounding the American entry point.
The patrol has returned, sir,
came the breathless voice again.
They've gone, sir. They're falling back.
The man's voice was weary but elated. Spears glanced up at the monitor, licking his dry lips as his lizard-like smile broadened. The screen still showed the endless dark lines of troops marching to and from the vast array chambers, deep below the operations centre. Tall cranes and massive tractor vehicles, like prehistoric creatures, towed or lifted the heavy field ships into place. Lights glinted dully off their bare metal plates, so hastily built that there hadn't been enough time to paint them. Ships literally rolled off the production lines and straight into combat. Now the latest patrol was filing wearily out through the massive doors of the array chamber. They were a very different sight from the fresh troops who had entered the field only an hour previously. Their once gleaming armoured suits were now corroded and scorched, as figures limped wearily to safety, struggling to carry their wounded or dead. Spears squinted at the grainy monitor picture, as two figures exited the chamber carrying a heavy, bulky object between them. Medical orderlies ran to help them, as fresh troops looked on anxiously, waiting their turn to enter the field. Spears thought he saw the screen flicker around the two soldiers. He peered closer, trying to make out the bulky shape they carried. With a gasp, Spears recognized two human legs at one end of the mass, and realized that the fibrous bundle of tentacles and fronds had once been a man. He stared at the scene as the medic stood watching in horror. He felt hot and nauseous, but he was compelled to look on. The harder he concentrated, Spears found he could catch glimpses of shadows flickering about the corpse. He gazed on in morbid fascination.
"Yes," he whispered quietly to himself. "Oh my, she was right. She was real."
"Sir?" The harsh voice instantly broke his concentration, and with a curse the shadows disappeared.
"Did you hear me, sir? The cordon, it's broken. All the enemy forces around the entry point are retreating."
"Yes, yes," muttered Spears angrily, still distracted by his earlier vision.
"Send the scout ships to follow them," he hissed icily. "I want to know where they're running to."
"Right, Thomas. Well, here's your train pass and your security clearance. If you give these in at the first security station, then they'll tell you where your quarters will be. I'm afraid it's all a bit hectic around here."
Grace absently handed Thomas a bundle of documents, whilst fishing around in her desk drawer.
"I'm sorry, but I could only get you 3 days off. I hope it's enough to clear your head a bit, and get you back on track and everything."
Thomas shrugged noncommittally.
"Well,"
continued Grace with a smile,
"you can get some reading done anyway. It's a good library. Friendly staff."
Thomas blushed and stared at his hands.
"It's just,"
he began, when one of the internal security guards thrust his head around the door. He looked pale and breathless.
"Grace, I think you better come quick," he panted.
"What the bloody hell's the matter this time?" snapped Grace.
"It's Alex. I think you better just see for yourself,"
he babbled.
"All right, all right. Come on, Thomas. We can talk on the way."
They followed the guard as he hurried down through the corridors, down to the lower levels. As they proceeded, they encountered fewer and fewer people, the corridors becoming narrower and more foreboding.
"I tried to get hold of Commander James, but he's away off the base,"
panted the guard as they sped down another flight of steps.
"I guess he's got his hands full at the moment. I suppose you've heard the news."
"What's that?"
gasped Grace, busily trying to scribble something in a notebook under the low light of the concrete tunnel.
"America's broken off all diplomatic relations. They claim sovereignty over the entire field, and they're threatening aggressive action if we don't pull out."
I thought they were on our side,"
stuttered Thomas from behind an armful of papers, which threatened to slip from his grasp at any moment.
"The Yanks? Where have you been for the past month, Thomas?"
blurted out Grace, then laughed at her own words. They were all cut off from the real world down here.
"Yeah, who'd believe it? It's all fucked up if you ask me. Excuse me, Dr. Palmer,"
stuttered the guard.
"You're right there,"
muttered Grace, ignoring his apology.
"It's all fucked up."
They arrived out of breath at the section which was being used as a makeshift detention centre. A huddle of security guards stood nervously at one end of the corridor. At the far end, behind the heavy metal door of Alex's cell, came a crashing of breaking furniture and angry shouting.
"What the hell's going on?"
asked Grace, peering down the corridor.
"Just stay here, Dr. Palmer," said one of the guards anxiously. "We've got more personnel on the way."
"Just tell me what's happening,"
she snapped, turning to the largest guard.
"Don, that is, one of the other guards, was just taking the prisoner his lunch, like normal. He just went berserk. He's got him in there. Says he'll kill him if he can't speak to you. He won't talk to anybody else but you."
"Is he armed?"
asked Grace sternly.
"He's just got Don's nightstick, but he's dangerous. I think he broke one of my men's collarbones when we went in. He's up in the infirmary now."
The guard stared at his shoes apologetically.
"But we did manage to lock him back in his cell."
"Well, we better talk to him then, hadn't we? See if we can't calm him down. Thomas, you better wait here."
Grace pushed her way past the guards, who looked on in disbelief.
"Well, go on then,"
snapped the senior officer to two of his colleagues, who stood gawping at the scene. They followed Grace down the corridor, cautiously drawing their nightsticks. I feel safer already, Thomas heard Grace mutter as she approached the far door.
Alex, it's Dr. Palmer. You wanted to talk with me.
So here I am. The door of the cell swung outwards, and Grace stepped back with a gasp.
I thought you said it was locked, she hissed in disbelief.
The two guards looked at each other in panic.
It was,
whispered one.
I think we'd better move back now, Dr. Palmer.
I think that's a good idea, hissed Grace, edging backwards slowly. The cell was in darkness. Alex had broken the light.
I need to talk, Grace,
came Alex's quiet voice from the blackness. He sounded feverish and frantic.
I won't harm you, and I don't want to hurt this guy, but if I have to...
There was a muffled gasp from the gloom. Grace stopped moving away from the doorway.
Okay, Alex. What's this all about?
She asked as calmly as she could manage.
They're coming, Grace,
muttered Alex in an agitated voice.
Don't ask me how I know, but I'm not crazy. I can see they're coming. We've got to try and stop them. We have to stop them.
Hey, just slow down, Alex. It's okay. Slow down. You're not making any sense, called Grace.
They're coming, goddammit! The war's beginning! We must stop them before it's too late!
He screamed from the darkness.
Dr. Palmer,
whispered one of the security guards, pulling Grace back down the corridor. There was a blur from the cell, and he doubled over with a grunt, clutching at his stomach. Grace span around to see Alex lunge past her. The second guard slumped against the wall, blood spurting from the bridge of his nose. Grace started to run back to the others, but Alex grabbed her by the hair and she fell to the ground with a shriek.
Don't move!
Screamed a military policeman from the far end of the corridor, pointing a pistol straight at Alex's face. He had just arrived at the scene, having pushed past the dumbfounded security guards. Alex didn't even flinch. He walked purposefully towards the man, the nightstick still clenched in his fist.
I will shoot! Drop the weapon!
Screamed the policeman. Alex was only 10 feet from the frantic guard now. He didn't stop. The guard paused for a second, unsure as to whether or not he should shoot. Alex leapt at him as the man pulled the trigger. The blast of the gun and the blow from Alex's nightstick appeared to happen instantaneously. But slowly, the amazed guard slumped to the floor as Alex tore the gun from his limp fingers. Blood oozed from a scorch mark on the side of Alex's temple as he stood wide-eyed and panting, the gun now pointed straight at the huddle of frightened security guards. He strode forward, and they shrank back against the walls, revealing Thomas paralyzed with fear in the center of the corridor.
You're coming with me,
hissed Alex, leading him back down towards the cell.
Are you hurt?
He grunted to Grace as he pulled her to her feet.
Get your hands off me,
she protested weakly, the tears smearing across her cheeks. Alex crouched down, ignoring the guards behind him, and took a set of handcuffs and keys from the nearest prone guard. He glanced up feverishly, the gun gripped tight in his bloody fist.
Cuff yourselves together,
he muttered, tossing Thomas the restraints.
No, I'm sorry, Dr. Palmer, but I'm going to have to ask you to take me to the array chamber.
Are all the troops at the rendezvous point?
Asked Spears, looking anxiously out of the cabin window as the cracked red rock of the field sped past, 50 feet below them.
Yes, sir, drawled Gutteridge, his voice heavy with exhaustion. We're approaching the supply side now. From there the team should reach the Maundsworth field base in approximately 4 hours, sir.
Good, whispered Spears under his breath, his attention still fixed upon the field through the window. Gutteridge caught Spears mutter something to himself as his eyes darted manically to and fro.
Sir? Are you all right, sir? Asked Gutteridge cautiously.
What?
Spat Spears, twisting around to his subordinate.
Of course I'm all right. Why shouldn't I be?
He snapped. A thin film of sweat glistened across his gaunt features, and his tongue darted snake-like between his parched lips. His eyes were wide and unceasing in their movement, yet the rest of his face seemed fixed in a grimace like some gruesome death mask.
It's just you looked a little... tired, sir, muttered Gutteridge.
Since Spears had set foot in the field, Gutteridge had noticed a change in his superior, a rising hysteria within the man as his external features seemed to be growing ever more rigid. Gutteridge was starting to have grave doubts about him. I'm fine, snapped Spears again, turning angrily back to the window of the speeding field ship. We're fine, he whispered quietly to himself as Gutteridge disappeared into the next cabin.
Careful, my friend, came a soft, lazy voice from behind him. You must be strong for me. Just a little while longer.
Spears felt the hairs on the back of his neck stand on end, and a surge of excitement ran through him. He span around, a manic grin stretching his taut skin.
Yes, yes, I am strong,
croaked Spears through his simpering smile.
Please, show me more.
The naked woman walked unabashed about the room, carefully taking in her surroundings with her dark, inhuman eyes.
Well, George, is it everything I told you it would be?
She smiled, turning her gaze upon him. Spears held his hands up to his mouth to stifle a cry, all the while his eyes were darting about in amazement.
The dreams only hinted at it all,
he whispered in disbelief. All about him swam strange creatures of incandescent light, each bound to his body by a fine tracery of golden fibres. He tried to gaze at the woman in front of him, using the techniques for seeing she had taught him, but the light she cast from her body was too much to bear. Ever since those first dreams had begun all those years ago, when the naked girl had first appeared in his sleep, she had always shone like an angel. But now he stood truly before her. He was overwhelmed.
Show me more, he whispered greedily. All in good time, my friend,
laughed the girl lightly.
But now we must put all our plans into practice. The British have nearly completed their army. Even now they are gathering to march on the American bases. You must make a decisive, preemptive strike, George. You realize the catastrophic consequences if you should fail, and they were to gain control over the field. We won't fail,
whispered Spears, wide-eyed and grinning.
I knew I could trust you,
smiled the girl sweetly. Spears followed the flash of a creature as it darted around his thin body.
Oh, and by the way, you haven't told me whether you like your gifts,
she said, running her hand along the control console. Spears gave her a look of confusion.
I don't understand,
he said.
These ships, George, she said with a smile. These flagships to lead your army. Do you not like them? But we thought they were left behind by the retreating troops. They're a gift from me and my kind,
she said, her features turning grave.
They hail from a different age. This, the Herald, is the oldest of them all. She fought proudly in the God Wars over 1,000 years ago. May you serve each other well.
Sir! The harsh, ugly voice of one of his orderlies snapped him from his reverie. He looked about in annoyance. There was no sign of the beautiful girl.
Sir, we have arrived at the supply site. Colonel Boynes is asking to speak with you.
The orderly fidgeted nervously in front of his superior.
Yes, yes,
muttered Spears angrily. His head pounded now that the visions had dispersed.
Any more on the British force?
No, sir. And we still don't have a confirmation that the force is of British origin, sir.
The last signal we had from the entry point was that the British were still denying that...
Quiet!
Yelled Spears hysterically.
We need to make a decisive, preemptive strike. The consequences will be catastrophic if we fail.
The words fell from his rigid mouth in a dead monotone.
Yes, sir, stuttered the orderly. And Colonel Boyne, sir?
Yes, all right, show him in.
Spears turned back to the window, licking his lips in anticipation of all that had been promised him.
Okay, put your suits on,
said Alex feverishly. He pushed an orange environment suit towards Thomas.
Go on,
he said sternly. The boy looked petrified. The young man mechanically removed his clothes and started pulling on the heavy, padded suit. Alex glanced nervously around the long row of lockers.
Just stay back,
he shouted. He could see the dark shapes of soldiers out in the array hall.
Alex, just what do you hope to achieve with all this?
Asked Grace wearily, as she fastened up the tabs on her suit.
I can prevent it, muttered Alex, checking back down the corridor, the gun in his outstretched hand.
He held his head for a moment, as the pain came again, in a wave of nausea. But now it seemed as if it was so intense it became bearable. He ceased to operate in a normal place of thought. The visions had been building up pressure for several hours now. All around he saw ghostly images of spectral figures, some human and some not. They shimmered and flickered around his sight, but instead of distracting him, they seemed to focus his attention on the physical world around him. He almost laughed as he noticed a bright halo of glowing entities hover like ghostly fireflies around a sniper, high up on a gantry in the array hall. He stepped out of the soldiers' line of fire, back to Palmer and Sullivan. The familiar shapes of nightmare and beauty played out a twisting dance around Grace, but Alex was amazed to see the sheer volume of creatures around Sullivan. Glowing entities and exquisite-faced beings slowly twined around the boy, wrapping him in ephemeral trails of shining light. He was difficult to look at, and Alex had to shade his eyes. Words slowly came back to him, and he realized that Dr. Palmer was talking to him.
Prevent what, Alex? What do you think we can do?
She helped Thomas on with his cumbersome helmet and secured the locking bolts. Alex looked back towards her, his eyes darting to and fro as he followed the fleeting shapes around her.
The final war, he said matter-of-factly.
Grace stared back with a blank expression.
When we first discovered the field,
he began, talking vacantly as if idly reminiscing.
We were like you, amazed and intrigued by its secrets. We spent several weeks exploring. Then one day the team encountered an inhabitant, what could only be described as an angel.
Thomas looked up and was about to interrupt, then thought better of it.
An angel, continued Alex, his gaze darting about their heads. It spoke to us. For a long time we talked, and we learned about the nature of the field and the reasons it was so dangerous for us to be there. It told us that the last war, the final war in our history to come, would begin in the field. Well, you can imagine. It was like a message from God himself. We destroyed all traces of our work. It was still only in its infancy, and we were thorough. We set up a secret array system and began recruiting people to our cause. We dedicated our lives to preventing the abuse of the field.
He looked down sadly, as if remembering those days.
The woman who would be my wife was there with me that day,
he whispered sadly to himself.
She spoke to him. Only Henschel and myself survived any length of time.
He coughed and suddenly snapped out of his reverie.
I won't let it happen. Not after all this, he finished forlornly.
Mechanically, he began dragging on a suit of his own.
Get someone in here to open the weapons locker, he called back down the corridor. I'm going to get angry.
I'm afraid we can't do that, Alex, came a voice from around the corner. Two shots split the silence as Alex fired wildly at the lock on the cabinet. Sparks flew up and Thomas covered his ears in fear. Alex grabbed Grace by the scruff of her neck, holding the gun to her head and facing the security camera in one corner of the room.
Get the fucking keys in here, now!
He screamed. Spears nervously licked his parched lips as he surveyed the scene through the large, toughened glass of the operations room window. The immense bulk of his flagship, the Herald, shuddered imperceptibly as it settled on the cracked red rock at the crest of the shallow valley. As the dust cleared, Spears made out the dark band of opposing forces strung out along the far side of the plain. Dark spots swarmed about the air as the field ships darted to and fro. It seemed as if the forces were fairly equal in size. Spears felt a manic surge of adrenaline as he prepared to give the order to sweep down onto the plain and annihilate the enemy.
Not yet.
The words came as a soft caress on the back of his neck, and he felt his senses heightening as the world seemed to crystallize about him. He span around, but there was nobody near him. The bustle of staff working at the control center seemed to fade into the distance.
You must wait.
The voice again was a gentle wash over the back of his neck, and this time Spears didn't turn around, but closed his eyes, savouring the sweet music of the girl's voice.
"Why wait?" whispered Spears quietly. "You said we should attack. We must attack."
"Patience, George," laughed the disembodied voice.
Spears looked around the room. It seemed to have dimmed and blurred. There was no vitality to the scene compared with the vision she had let him see. The staff carried on oblivious, and Spears grinned at a secret only he held. He concentrated on the sheer reality of her voice.
"There is something you must do first. There is a danger to us, George. This is not a war of strength in arms. This is a war of minds. That is why you are so special, George. So very precious to me. Your beautiful mind."
Spears' heart swelled with pride.
"Send your favorite helper to the ruins north of the British entry point. The boy, Sullivan. He will be there. Destroy the mind and win the war, George."
The carefree voice gave a short, musical laugh and then was gone. The ugly sounds of the operation center came flooding back to him, and Spears blinked in the harsh, vulgar light.
"Get me Gutteridge in here right away," he shouted, almost retching at the crude sound of his own voice,
so drunk had he been on the girl's music. He paused for a while, smiling darkly to himself.
"And prepare to attack," he whispered guiltily.
You have been listening to The Heaven Field. For more information, downloads, and artwork, visit theheavenfield.com.